It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. Another Saturday, another great opportunity to share the great experiences and joys of being a fan of the outdoors. And for me, and a lot of you, that's going to mean in a couple weeks the start of the gun deer season. But we thought, who better to talk to than our friend and contributor to the show, Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who I believe, Paul, we've dragged out of the woods in Richland County as you celebrate the bow season for deer in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hi, Steve. And happy deer season to you. You know, it is a month-long celebration and opportunity. So I am bow hunting near Richland Center in Richland County. And it's early November, and the deer are moving. It's the rut. And this is sort of my annual outing with a group of friends here. I'm getting excited for the upcoming gun season too.
All right. So somebody asked me to ask you this, and I'll admit this because you and I have talked a bunch of times before on a lot of different subjects. I saw a story that you had written about, I think I got the name right, Dave Schlabowski from Sealy, Wisconsin, about fat bikes and hunting, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Which prompted me to interview him about that. But here's my question. It's sort of a more general question, but I'm curious about the answer. So is every one of your outdoors experiences, like today, you're in Richland County and participating in the bow season, does every one of your outdoors experience turn into a eventual story?
Steve, no, they don't. I have many, many things that I do that don't turn into stories. Some do, and you know, some I'm doing intentionally for a story. But here's the thing about this job, lifestyle that I have. I mean, I honestly grew up doing all these hunting and fishing things in Wisconsin, and I continue to do them as an adult. You know, some of my priorities change or activities, you know, change, or I take on new ones and don't do some as much as I used to. However, this is how I spend my life. So I am honestly, while I'm privileged, I don't really think I am, to do this job for the newspaper where I can write stories and take photographs of many of these experiences, but they don't all turn into stories. And for instance, now I'm bow hunting with a group of friends. I've done this just about every year for the last couple of decades, and I don't write any time. Sometimes I have written from here, one of my objectives in my job is to not tell the same story over
right,
and over.
Right. Yeah.
So, in fact, you know, for the gun deer season opener, when I started this job 18 years ago, one of my objectives was to tell a different gun deer opener story. So I try to get around the state. I've done it, 16 different ways. I have gone back to the same spot, so I violated my own rule on two occasions, but that was mostly due to circumstances.
As somebody who's has covered the deer hunt for so many years and participated as well, which I think is an important part of that story, how has it changed, do you think, in the last couple decades in Wisconsin, if it has?
Well, yeah. You know what? It's really changed. So a span of my life, I've been deer hunting since 1982. So we're talking now, you know, 40 plus years. Back then it was really common for people, the most common hunter in that era, like me, would travel from southern Wisconsin. I grew up in Racine County. We would drive north to go deer hunting. That's where the most of the deer opportunities were. It was changing at that time, but we hunted public land up north, and that was the common experience. And now, today, the deer population in southern Wisconsin has just gotten bigger and bigger. You know, so there are opportunities now, Steve, to hunt in suburban Milwaukee, you know, areas, say Waukesha County, Ozaukee County, that really are, you don't have to drive up north to hunt anymore. So that has changed. And then we just have to mention chronic wasting disease. That has come on the scene. That mm-hmm. was not here decades ago. That was, you know, first reported in Wisconsin in 2002, so 23 years ago. So we have to mention that. That's affected some people, their decisions about where to hunt, how to hunt. But so we definitely have seen changes. This is really something. And the overall picture is Wisconsin still has, I mean, we have a record high deer population this year, according to DNR estimates. So the statewide population of deer is really strong. And of course, that's not true everywhere. If you talk to deer hunters, all you got to do is bring up this story of deer management and have a conversation with a deer hunter, and you'll hear if you have talk to 100 hunters, you'll hear 100 different perspectives on what they see. And that's important to people. That's their lived experience, you know, what they're seeing when they're out deer hunting, and those things really vary. But like where I hunt often in Waukesha County, lots of deer. Where I am here in Richland County, it's moderate right now, but people are seeing deer, and like I said, right now I'm in the middle of the rut here, and so deer are moving.
Coming up after the break, more of my conversation with Outdoors editor from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Paul Smith, on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Paul Smith, Outdoors editor of the Journal Sentinel, joining us on WTMJ Outdoors. I've talked to a lot of writers about the outdoors in Wisconsin and hunting particularly, and one of the big mentions is the technology piece, and you and I both know this, trail cams. That is sort of transformed. If you're a hunter and you have friends who hunt, one of the pastimes of the late summer, fall, is they show you their trail cam pictures. I see a day doesn't go by where someone doesn't share me what their trail cams are picking up by their hunting lands. And you must see this all the time.
It's wonderful. Honestly, I do love it. People get excited about it. What do you see? You know, what animals you see, and not only deer, but deer are very common to pick up on these things. And for people who have hunting land, Steve, I just want to just go back to one point. More of the deer hunting community now hunts on private land.
Right.
Than did decades ago. So, and in many of these cases, people put up trail cams and they monitor their deer. This property I'm hunting now, the landowners have the cell phone trail cams.
Yep.
So one of the primary landowners is not even here. And he's calling the deer camp with what he saw last night on his trail cams. So he's telling us what he saw. He said, yeah, we had a buck move through, you know, Coffin Corner. That's one of the spots on a ridge. Hey, a buck moved through, you know, this or that. But in any case, people get a real sense for what's out there, you know, if there's a big buck, if there's not, or whatever. And it's really exciting. And, you know, there's some science attached to it too, Steve. Science is moving toward using trail cams to estimate abundance and observation. So there's a whole lot of fun and some science to it too.
Before we let you get out of here, we're just going to do one segment today because I want you to get back to your hunting experience. I think that I know this because you and I have talked about this. You're going to be very close to my camp, which is in Waupaca County, visiting and staying with a fellow hunter in Waupaca County, Nate Van Zeelen. How did that connection happen, and are you excited about that different experience?
I'm very excited, Steve. The chance to see you and perhaps others in your group up there is just fantastic. The opportunity came because Nate reads the newspaper, and so he reached out to me and contacted me. And I think it's also because he knows you.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
He might have heard me on your show.
Yep.
But so he just reached out. Now, so here's Nate. He's a private landowner in Waupaca County, which is as good of deer hunting as anywhere on the planet. Honestly, it's just tremendous deer country. And so I have not done an opening gun deer hunting story in Waupaca County. And so here's this, when he reached out to me with this invitation, it was just perfect because I hadn't done that story. I want to tell that story. And also I get to, you know, get together with you and weave in stories about why people go there. How did, you know, how did he end up buying land there? What's your family, Steve? What's your history there? I know there is some about people who traveled up into that country. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it should be outstanding.
Yeah, two things. You're going to appreciate the beauty of the woods there. We have the Little Wolf River that goes through his property and our family property. And two, the opportunity to break bread with fellow hunters that you have done for so many years as part of your work. But it's just it's a unique thing for anyone who doesn't hunt but still loves the outdoors and loves listening to the show, WTMJ Outdoors. It's a great way to sort of celebrate what's very cool and traditional in the state of Wisconsin. So I look forward to seeing you on the Friday night before gun deer season, which opens on November 22nd. Get back in the woods. Good luck with the hunt. He is Paul Smith, outdoors editor of the Journal Sentinel. Thanks for spending some time.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much. And all hunters out there, please enjoy yourself. Stay safe. If you can, tag a deer, and if possible, donate one through the deer donation program.
Absolutely. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ. Thanks to our partners at Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. I love talking about the outdoors, but I always understand that even though it's fall and we're getting colder and here in Wisconsin, and obviously deer hunting season is in full bloom and starts for real gun deer season, the big season where all the hunters hit the woods. That's going on, but I always like to look ahead as well, and I know how popular boating is in Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin. So joining us on this edition of WTMJ Outdoors, Ben Nielsen, show producer for the Milwaukee Boat Show, which is January in 2026. Hey, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. So I've been going to the boat show forever. I don't own a boat, but I just love seeing what's there, and they always have all the other cool stuff and a lot of fun stuff. So as a show producer, and as somebody puts on this unbelievably popular event in Milwaukee, give us all the nuts and bolts, the, you know, the whys and wherefores, and how this is happening, how many years, all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're looking forward, actually, to being in our 56th year of the Milwaukee Boat Show, which
wow.
is outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it's... come a long way since then. And, you know, this year again is going to be full of all the latest, greatest new model boats from all the different manufacturers on display inside State Fair Park for everybody to check out.
All right. So let's start big picture. What do you think, if somebody puts on a show like this, what's the big trend in the sort of the boating world right now?
Well, there's no doubt that for the last, I would say more like 10 years, pontoon boats have been ruling the boating market, right? As soon as we figured out that we could put, you know, a 254 engine on the back of a pontoon boat, that suddenly became pretty attractive to people. And so, you know, the pontoon boat side of things continues to evolve. And if you say, I've already seen pontoon boats and yeah, you may have seen pontoons, but they're changing every year, right? So now we're getting, you know, bathrooms on pontoon boats and full bars on pontoon boats. And, you know, they're coming a long way and they keep changing and evolving every year. And so there really is something new to see there, you know, every year when it comes to that. And they are by far the most popular right now.
I was talking to somebody about pontoon boats earlier this year, summer for that matter, and about the sort of the amazing stuff. You mentioned some of it. And I always compare it to sort of that little house or small house concept that's kind of really popular now, where people have these like one room shacks that they can either drive around or place somewhere, and it has everything you need in their kitchen, bathroom, one bedroom, usually a loft, minimum space. Is that sort of where this pontoon world is evolving to? I know people use them as party boats a lot, and they've taken over Wisconsin lakes.
Yeah. You know, and you know, you can get your family, your friends out on the water. Everybody can fit. Everybody's comfortable. Cruise around the lake. You know, enjoy, have a great time. And then if you say, you know, look, I want something that I can, you know, take the kids tubing or skiing or wakeboarding, you know, they're actually very good for that as well. And so they do kind of cover, you know, a lot of different areas for people on that. And I think that's what a lot of the appeal is there. Fishing, you know, I mean, they're a great boat to fish off of. You can kind of do everything with them.
I've actually musky really fished helps. Off the pontoon boat once.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trolling, you know, out in, you know, large water like Lake Michigan. In a pontoon boat, which,
really?
You know, I mean, gosh, you never would have thought that would have happened, right?
No, so, I don't know if I've ever seen a pontoon boat on Lake Michigan, to be honest.
Yeah, they're getting there. That they're getting into that market as well. I mean, you know, so they really are a versatile platform, you know, and that's really what the big appeal is there. But, you know, if you're getting more specific, say you're, you know, really into fishing, then obviously there's going to be a lot here for you to see as well. You know, if you're looking for a new walleye boat, if you're looking for a new bass boat, you know, the latest, greatest on those specific or technique-specific boats are going to be there also. Or you're big into, you know, wake surfing. That's a huge trend right now. I mean, all the wake surf boats are going to be there. Maybe you want a motor yacht. That'll be there too. You know, maybe not for everybody. Definitely not in my price range. But those are going to be there to check out also.
So for folks who have never been, or maybe they've been a bunch of times, what's the cost? Where is it at? So a lot of people, they may not even know.
Yeah. So the whole event takes place at Wisconsin State Fair Park, same place as the fair every summer. And so that's a great location for this to be. Admission to the show is $12 for adults. It is a lesser price for kids, 6 to 14 are $5, and under 6 are free. And, you know, our website is milwaukeeboatshow.com. All of this information is there. You can get advanced discounted tickets online on the website. All the hours are posted, directions, how to get to the facility. Everything is there at MilwaukeeBoatShow.com.
And if someone's not interested in the boat side of things, what else do you offer at the Milwaukee Boat Show?
Well, there's a ton. You know, the I'll start off with, it's a reprieve from that white stuff called snow. you walk inside of there and it smells like summer. You know, all the boats are in there. They've been cleaning them. So that smell of boat cleaner and suntan lotion, you know, that is kind of just inside that building. So you immediately walk in and go, oh, man, this reminds me of summer. So great place to go when the weather's not so nice in January. But then on top of that, maybe you aren't interested in buying a boat. Maybe you want to buy a boat someday. You can walk through all these boats. You can check them out, talk to people. See all the different styles of boats that are there. They are the stars of the show. There's no doubt about that. But maybe you just bought one last year. You got what you need on that. So we're also going to have the HO Sports Tubers Truckload Sale there. Maybe you need a new tube, new life jacket. There's going to be a lot of different accessories there from a lot of the smaller booths that we have at the show. A lot of different unique kind of there's going to be a fire pit that you can put on your pontoon boat. I never thought I would have ever seen that. And it doesn't seem safe in my head, but it is.
Interesting concept.
You know, a lot of different things like that, right? Also very good for the kids. They love to see the boats. We will have the bumper boats there again this year for them. So they can come inside the building. There'll be a large pool inflated. They can get in a bumper boat in the water and kind of cruise around and do that. So a lot of different things for them to see there as well.
We're talking to Ben Nielsen. He's the show producer for the Milwaukee Boat Show, January 16th through the 18th and the 21st through the 25th, I think you said?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm always interested in the personal side of people when they come on the show. What, how did you get involved in boats and the boat show?
You know, I've been a boater my whole life, and my background is actually in retail. I spent 18 years kind of in the hunting and fishing world when it comes to retail, and our offices happened to be located in the same town that I was working in. They were looking to add on to their staff, and my name came up. And that's kind of how the whole thing happened. You know, there's not a lot of, people that do this, you know, for a living. And so, you know, it is a little bit different. On top of that, I've been an avid fisherman my whole life. I do a lot of, professional bass fishing tournaments when I'm not doing shows. And so this has been something that's been, you know, that boating side has been near and dear to my heart since I was a kid. I got my first boat when I was 6, if that tells you anything. So, you know, I've been around boating and the boating industry and the boat dealers and the fishing world and the boating world my whole life. It's just ingrained into who I am.
I'm going to have to reach back and talk to you when we get to fishing season next year. That bass thing is super popular, of course, in the state of Wisconsin and everywhere
now. Yeah,
absolutely. Love to talk to you about that. All right, so let's give folks the numbers and all the details on how to find the boat show happening in January in Milwaukee.
Yes, absolutely. Milwaukee Boat Show is going to take place at State Fair Park. The show opens up January 16, runs through the 25th. We are closed that Monday and Tuesday, kind of in between there. Tickets to the show are $12, and all of the details for this you can find at MilwaukeeBoatShow.com.
Ben Nielsen, a pleasure to talk to you. I will be at the boat show looking forward to all of that come January. And yes, it is, as you said before, a definite reprieve from the white stuff, which I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not a skier, and I'm not ice fishing anymore, so I will look forward to that.
Absolutely. Looking forward to having you there.
Thank you, Ben. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Of course, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. We love talking about the listeners who listen to the show. Why do I say that? Because one of the most common things I hear is you gotta get connected to UWSP, University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and all their great programs. Obviously, natural resources is a big part of what they do. And one of the unique programs there is led by Peggy Farrell, who's our guest on WTMJ Outdoors. Hey, Peggy.
Hello.
So I'm intrigued by this, and I love the fact when people recommend ideas and topics for the show. You're the director of something called the Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman Program. How long have you been involved? When did it start? How did it start? What's the mission? Let's sort of walk through some of this stuff.
Sure. I'll start you back at the beginning. Was in 1990. The university held a conference called Breaking Down the Barriers to Participation by Women in Outdoor Activities. because it's long like that because this conference was nested in academia, where they invited folks both from the public and who work professionally in the areas of conservation to get together and brainstorm why are fewer women participating in outdoor activities traditionally dominated by men, meaning hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. And if we can figure out why, what can we do about it?
What's the why? What's the why there? What is the why?
Oh, okay. Well, the why mainly related back to no place to learn how to do it. So lack of educational opportunities. So the idea was, well, if there's no place for them to learn, let's make one and see what happens. So that's what turned into the very first Becoming an Outdoors Woman workshop, which was held at Treehaven Field Station near Tomahawk in 1991. And it filled with, I believe it was 107 participants.
Wow, that's a good group.
It was, I guess, I wasn't involved at the time. I didn't come on until 95, but I guess people were just like, the organizers were blown away and super excited, because they took a chance on this, if you build it, will they come? And they came.
Hmm. So tell me what it is. What it is exactly. So what's the how part of this question? So how do they become more interested in the outdoors?
Oh, sure. So educational opportunities for adult women taught in safe, supportive, non-competitive environment by, really passionate instructors who love what they do in the outdoors and love being able to share that with other people. So that the mission of the program is to break down the barriers to the women's participation, and that's how we do it.
So how about the specifics? Like, what kind of events do you do? What kind of activities?
Yes. Yeah, so we do two three-day workshops per year. One in the fall and one again in winter. And both of those are built off of the quote unquote original bow workshop, bow being short for Becoming an Outdoors Woman. It's basically the same structure and the same variety of classes that were offered at that very first program. It just proved to be so successful that we haven't messed with it. And those subjects are equally, the classes they can take are equally divided between hunting and shooting, fishing and boating, and then that last one third is outdoor recreation that might also be combined with those other activities. So map and compass, camping, cross-country skiing we do in the winter, snowshoeing, wildlife photography, nature ecology, knot tying. So just about anything you can do in the outdoors is part of that one third. That means the one third, one third, one third means there's something for everyone.
Who are the instructors for the program?
People who are just really passionate and like to share what they do. So folks that I've gotten to know over the 30 years that I've been involved with the program, we have, you know, quite a few hunter education instructors who will help out with the shooting classes and the firearm safety classes. Some people are just enthusiasts and they do these activities a lot on their own for recreation and they want to share it. So in some cases, folks are experts. In some cases, folks are just really good at being able to teach without necessarily having taken a class that handed them a badge that said, here, now you're an expert.
Peggy Farrell joining us from UWSP. The program is the Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman, the BOW program. A lot of history here, 30 years with Bausch, and in the second segment, we're going to kind of get to sort of her background, how she got into all of this, and you've done a lot of things. I was reading your bio during the break, but I want to give you a couple chances to tell people how they might become involved in your program, so I'll give you one here and one at the end of our interview. How can they find out more about the BOW program?
I would just do a search for Wisconsin BOW, W-I-B-O-W. Right now, our website URL is really long. We're working on shortening that through the university, but you will find through Wisconsin BOW, B-O-W, several pages, including our calendar of events and some of the things that we do.
All right, let's take a break here. We're talking to Peggy Farrell from UWSP, the Outdoors Woman, the Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman program, 30-plus years of success. We'll find out how Peggy got into it and talk about some of the great things that she's done in her pretty long career for a young woman. We'll get to all of that after this on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. We have a great guest today, Peggy Farrell, director of the Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman BOW program, B-O-W, if you're interested. You can just Google that. 30 years with BOW. She's welcome thousands of women to the outdoors, everything from hunting and fishing and all the other related things she talked about earlier. So your background is pretty cool. I was reading some of the stuff about you. You've trained people in natural resources. You've been a journalist, public relations, advertising, editing, publishing, and hunter education. That's a lot of things, Peggy. So how did this all start?
When I was younger, I didn't know who I wanted to be when I grew up.
That's a good answer. That's honest.
Yeah, so I came down to UWSP to explore natural resources as a transfer student from up in Wausau when they called it the UW Extension. It's now actually called UW Stevens Point at Wausau. And I came on the recommendation of a professor I had there who said, hey, you're really good at this, you know, biology and dendrology and botany stuff. You might want to go check out the natural resources program. So I did, and I explored a whole bunch of things, but eventually, for many reasons, I ended up walking across campus and getting a degree from the College of Communications. What that meant was, you know, 6.5 years to get an undergrad, but a really broad base of a whole bunch of different things that I felt like were going to make me really employable. But around that same time, shortly before graduation, I just got stupid lucky when I knocked on the door of Christine Thomas, then professor. She's now Dean Emeriti of the College of Natural Resources. And I said, you know, hey, I kind of don't exactly know what I want to do with this, where I can take all of this education that I have. And she said, well, I run this little program called Becoming an Outdoors Woman, and you can come work for me. So within, you know, 30 seconds of having knocked on the door, she gave me a job. She's the founder of the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program. And I was able to begin working before I ever had my undergrad degree.
One of the things I love about this, and I mentioned to you before we started the interview, is that so many of my listeners and fans of the WTMJ Outdoors program talk about UW Stevens Point. For those who don't know, and it's obviously the natural resources part that they're usually referring to in respect to an outdoor show, why are they so good? Why are you so good at teaching and training young men and women in natural resources?
I think it's the hands-on opportunities. So anybody who gets a degree in natural resources, no matter what discipline they're in, if it's wildlife or forestry or waters or soils or waste management, they go through a summer camp program, and that can happen in the form of 6 weeks, again, at Tree Haven Field Station, which is part of our campus near Tomahawk, where the students go there. They stay there for 6 weeks. They take classes. They get out in the field. They do the activities that get them trained to do the jobs that they want to do once they graduate. And also just the really super dedicated staff and instructors that they have. The folks who are here doing these activities are doing them because they love them and they want to share them.
I can't tell you how many people I've talked to on this program in the last 6 months that have a UWSP connection. Experts in their field, many of them work for the Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin. It is an amazing thing, and you know, we all lucky to work in a great state like Wisconsin. On your side of things, away from the UWSP connection, what do you like to do outdoors?
My favorite kind of hunting is spring turkey hunting, for all the reasons that everybody else says. It's
right.
Because it's not so cold.
It's nice out.
Everything's getting greened up. The turkeys talk to you, so even if you never see them, you get to hear them and all of the other birds that are out there doing their thing. So it's just kind of this raucous, crazy, good time when the sun comes up and all the world wakes up, and it's rejuvenating after, you know, coming out of late wet spring and maybe a too long winter that we can sometimes have here in Wisconsin. So that and gardening, and my newest thing for the past couple of months is I have a 4.5-month-old puppy, and so that can be all-consuming whenever I'm not doing work.
Yeah, anybody has a puppy knows what that's all about. All right, I want to give you another chance to tell folks how they can find out about your program. You said the URL was too long, so we'll make it easy for them. How can they find out more about the Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman program at UWSP?
Put WIBOW in your search bar, and that should take you to Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman. And there are phone numbers and email links on there where you can contact me directly. Happy to hear from anybody who wants to become involved either as a volunteer, an instructor, or a participant. So call me up. We'll talk.
All right. I love it. I always look for innovators, and it seems like this program and you are innovators in this area. We always need more people celebrating the great outdoors in the state of Wisconsin. Peggy Farrell, keep up the good work.
It's been fun to talk.
All right. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Country roads,
take me home. As always, thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Thanks to our great sponsors. One of them, Outdoor Living Unlimited. You heard from Eric Brown last week's show on Saturday. We're here every Saturday, 2 to 3. On 620 WTMJ, but you can find us basically anytime you want. All of our episodes going all the way back to the beginning of WTMJ Outdoors at WTMJ.com. And it's a great way to sort of, you know, pick the subject you want. We've talked about everything from kayaking to rock climbing, hunting and fishing, obviously, and boating. We had some fun on today's show talking with Ben Nielsen, who's talking about the boat show. I know it's only November, but he's already talking about the boat show in January. All the great things you can do in pontoon boats. We spent a lot of time in that conversation talking about so many options now for the boaters in Wisconsin. That's sort of the cool thing. We certainly love our lakes, and we certainly love talking about them. So thanks to Ben Nielsen for joining us to talk about the boat show at State Fair Park in January. We led off the show with my friend Paul Smith. Now, this is an interesting thing, and we talked about it a little bit at the end of the interview. He is actually going to be staying for opening weekend of the gun deer season at the neighbor of our deer camp, Nate Van Zeelen, who's right next to us, two family properties. We get together with Nate every year, my dad, my brother, our friend Ron, and Nate's crew is big. I couldn't even possibly list all their names. And Nate puts out a great banquet. We're staying there and eating there a couple nights this time. But the cool part, and this is where Paul Smith comes in, he loves to spend an opening weekend in a different place every year, and then he writes about it. So this year, as we talked about in the interview, Paul Smith is going to be staying with my friend Nate Van Zeelen and his crew just east of us in Waupaca County. So I'm looking forward to that, all the conversations. And here's the cool part. As part of the weekend together, I mean, obviously we're going to be separated by, you know, a few miles, but the time we spend together, I'm actually going to interview Paul from opening weekend of gun deer season at Nate Van Zeelen's camp there, just west of Big Falls, if you know Waupaca County, roughly 30 miles east of Stevens Point. And that is going to be a fun way to sort of see how Paul works. And we're going to sit down, we'll do an interview there, a couple interviews, a couple segments. We'll probably talk to Nate Van Zeelen as a property owner and a prolific hunter. He's already spent a lot of time in the woods in the bow season, archery season for deer, but he loves to bring everyone together for the culmination of all that as the opening weekend of gun deer season starts in just a week. So lots of fun talking to Paul Smith. So we'll bring all that back to you next week on WTMJ Outdoors, or a week from now. And we wrapped it up with Peggy Farrell. Who is that? Well, she's the director of this great program at University of Wisconsin Stevens Point. I mentioned at the beginning, they are prolific in training young men and women to work outdoors. What does that mean? Well, Department of Natural Resources. I've talked to people who are you know, boat captains and experts in hunting and fishing. And a lot of them point to that background, spent their years at UW-Stevens Point or their extensions. And it is a great university. My brother went there. I have a lot of friends, family members who've attended UWSP. Great, great campus in the center of Wisconsin. And she walked us through this great program called Women Wisconsin Becoming an Outdoors Woman. And it sort of trains and teaches women to experience, let's be honest, what all the guys have experienced for generations, bringing that next group of individuals into the great experience that is hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in Wisconsin. If you have an idea for the show, I say this every week, and this is where the UWSP and the women program came from, women's program, I should say. That's where that came from. A listener sent it in. And I said to Peggy, we have so many people that I've talked to over the months of this segment and this show that we talked to that had UWSP background. So if you have an idea or topic or feedback or comments, whatever it is, or invite me somewhere, I'll be happy to show up at your camp, I guess. Steve.Scafidi, 2Fs1D at WTMJ.com. That's Steve.Scafidi, S-C-A-F-F-I-D-I, 2Fs1D at WTMJ.com. All suggestions welcome. That's what makes this show so great. All of us in the great state of Wisconsin, on a great lake, celebrating all things outdoors every Saturday at 2 p.m. or whatever time you want when you listen to the podcast. And a lot of people do. So thanks to all of you for tuning in on this Saturday. We'll do it again next week as the gun deer season commences. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Outdoor Living Unlimited for being our presenting sponsor. And thanks to all of you for listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.